My guest at this time is Elaine Donnelly, president of the Center for Military Readiness. We want to get her thoughts on an exclusive USA Today story on the U.S. Army's decision to lift a ban on waivers for potential recruits who suffer from mental health issues, including self-mutilation, bipolar disorder, depression, or drug or alcohol abuse. The reason for the policy shift is concern that the Army will not meet its recruiting goals of 80,000 new soldiers by September of 2018. So some believe the move is necessary, while others believe it could well create many more problems. So, Elaine, what's your reaction to the Army's decision to consider accepting recruits with these kinds of mental health problems and the impact it's likely to have on readiness?
Well, this is not a good sign. And at least one expert quoted in the USA Today article says that when you induct people who have psychological problems, it is definitely a red flag. Those psychological problems often get worse in the military. Rates of suicide in the military are much higher than in the civilian world. So what is really going on here? Well, number one, the change was made without public notice. And people need to understand, when the military changes its standards, they don't notify Congress. This is applicable whether it's women in combat and whether the standards will stay the same or not. That's one thing that many of us have pointed out. The Army acts pretty much on its own. Secondly, to introduce into the military people in what is called Category 4 who either did poorly on their tests, aptitude tests going in, or who have psychological problems, this is a sign the economy is getting stronger, and so the all-volunteer force is a less attractive option than it was during the times of economic hardship when it was hard to find a job. So the military really needs to consider what is going on, what are we going to do to reverse the trend. It's sort of like the canary in the coal mine. You better figure out, what are we going to do to reverse this trend? Well, there's broader issues. We have so many people taking a knee instead of saluting the flag. Patriotism is coming into question. I'm wondering, what are we teaching our young people in school? If we're going to induct into the all-volunteer force young people who care about their country and are willing to serve, put their lives on the line, we better find out what is going on in our schools, because what is being taught in our schools, or more directly, what is not being taught in our schools, is contributing to this problem, then perhaps the Department of Education is also going to have to help out here and say, wait a minute, this is not good for our country.
So you believe this is more of a cultural issue in terms of people interested in serving in the Army as opposed to other reasons? I know there have been some reports out there, Elaine, that a lot of young men at that age simply aren't in the physical shape that their predecessors were. And so that's why the Army is having a tougher time recruiting.
That is correct. And the odd thing is, though, if you have physical issues that are that hold you back from signing up, issues of mental competency also are important. Mental conditions that detract from readiness to deploy, that interfere with unit cohesion, that contribute to stress and controversy within a given unit, these issues also are important. So although the article says that great care will be taken before any waivers are granted, and maybe something that happened when someone was a child, it's not a current issue today, again, I'm a little bit skeptical there because the pressures are on. The pressures are on to meet gender quotas. I'm also a little bit concerned, and this just take the issue out a little bit more. We have pressures to include transgenders in our military. Transgenderism, gender dysphoria, is one of those mental conditions that render a person unqualified for military service. It's one of many. Now we see the list being edited to include some mental conditions in the same way. If you are consistent, does that open the door to say, well, if someone is a cross-dresser or they have doubts about their gender identity, they need competent treatment, of course, and compassion. But if you say that, well, that's okay, they can be eligible to serve in the military, then it becomes a national defense issue. So I guess my concern is we need to keep standards as high as possible. We need to encourage young people to consider military service for the right reasons. And as for the recruiters, their job is a tough one as it is. It really is. But I don't think it's a good idea to bring into the military people who have psychological problems that are going to make it very difficult for them to succeed personally and for their units to be ready to deploy, to fight a war if necessary. All of these factors are very, very important. So this is not a good sign. I think it deserves perhaps some congressional inquiry.
Elaine, how do you expect this to go forward? Obviously, as you mentioned, the story references the fact that they're going to still be scrutinizing these people, and they don't mm-hmm. just because the waivers lifted doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to get into the Army. But if they're up against it with trying to meet these recruiting goals, do you think that they're going to make sure that these people are not going to pose a risk, or do you think that there's going to be some corner cutting?
I think the pressure will be on to meet the quotas. I really do. And not just people quotas. There are gender and race quotas. And again, the pressure's on to include sexual minorities. All of these things make the recruiter's job that much more difficult. I have a lot of respect for them. But it is a tough job, and I don't think that they should be pressured by implication, if not by direct order, to just wave certain things through and just let somebody else deal with the problem. I have heard of people who have deployed even with serious physical or mental problems, and the commanders overseas have to deal with those problems. That isn't fair. We really do have to do our best to keep the standards as high as possible, uncompromised standards. It's going to take some leadership. The Secretary of Defense is going to, I think, have to get involved. I think the President of the United States, you remember back after 9/11, we had certainly an attack on the nation that none of us will ever forget. But President George W. Bush, I think, missed an opportunity to encourage people to join the military. He pretty much told everybody, live your lives, go shopping, things like that. But there was no call out there for young people, especially young men, to volunteer for the combat arms going into the wars that followed 9/11. So I really think we need to rethink all of this. And the all-volunteer force is very important. But it has to get away from social engineering also. Young men join the military for reasons. Well, historically, men like the idea of a male environment where they can learn what it is to be a man, and the masculine, the culture of the military has, in many cases, been very attractive to young men. If instead now we say, oh no, we're going to have, you know, we're going to have gender quotas, we're going to have women in the infantry, we're going to change the culture of the military, how is that affecting recruiting? Well, I have seen some studies done actually by people who look at propensity to serve among young people. And this issue of women in combat also is a factor because the women have said, well, if it's going to be involuntary, the numbers who say they would not want to sign up doubles. And among men also, military service becomes less attractive. So this survey was done among young people a couple of years ago. I hope they're doing those surveys on a more frequent basis. And they should make the results public, because the military is a very special institution. It requires special young people to join. If you start playing games with standards and making excuses for including people who are not suited for military service, that's only going to make the problem worse. We really do need to think about this very carefully.
So the effort to attract more people by changing the standards is actually going to end up driving people away.
It could. It very well could. Because once you're in the armed forces, you have to follow orders no matter what. You don't get to choose who you live with, where you go, what you wear. Everything is, of course, done by orders. Everyone must follow orders. If you start bringing in people with mental issues, that interferes with their ability to be the kind of serviceman or woman that we would like to have, it affects everybody else. So numbers alone are not the only thing that matter. We need to have really good people who are willing to sign up and support our country. Certainly on Veterans Day and weekends, we appreciate so much those who volunteer to serve. But we have to be very careful. Not everybody is eligible to serve in the armed forces. And if you pretend like it is an equal opportunity employer, well, then you put everybody's lives at greater risk.
And that leads me right to where I want to go. Some people may say that, look at this and see maybe some people, like you mentioned, having issues as a small child or having minor issues compared to somebody else. Maybe this won't be such a big issue, but depending on who gets let in, it obviously could be in a specific unit. So do you believe that if this policy goes forward, that the lives potentially of servicemen could be in danger?
I think so. Mental illness is so difficult for families to deal with. It really, really is. You require competent medical care, psychiatric care. Your heart goes out to people who deal with issues of mental illness. However, the military is there to defend the country. The military health system is designed to make sure that we have a healthy and ready force. It serves a national defense purpose. So it's not there for everyone to join just to get medical benefits. It's there to defend the country. So again, at the highest levels of leadership, the chiefs of staff of the various services, and the Department of Defense. We don't know where the Secretary of Defense is on this issue. This was done by the Army. We only recently, I think it was last week, the new Secretary of the Army was confirmed. So this was a decision made by people from the Obama administration, not the Trump administration. So they have quotas to fill. Yes, we know bonuses sometimes are given. If the bonus is needed to persuade more people to come in, that is not unusual. Sometimes they will make exceptions on standards. That's not totally unusual. But introducing waivers for mental health issues, that is a step in a way that I think is problematic. And I think they need to revisit that. And the Department of Defense, the person in charge of personnel matters in the Department of Defense hasn't even been confirmed yet, the Trump appointee. So this may be an open issue that will be revisited, and I hope it will be.
Well, we'll certainly keep watching it. I know you will. Elaine, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks, Greg.
You bet. Elaine Donnelly is president of the Center for Military Readiness. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.